Yastes. Would you start, Brother Mark? I was packing those little bags the other day. Came down here last night. I was throwing some of these together. And I got thinking, this scripture came in my heart. By the way, I challenge you to take 10, but if you want to take 50, whatever God puts in your heart, take all that you will take. You know, you can have more than 10, but at least take 10. How many are still with preacher? But if you, I know Brother West, they got a couple streets they're going to do. They're going to take about 100. And take all you can take because we got them. We want to get them out. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. Cast thy bread. By the way, thank you for bringing all those eggs and candy in. Brother Brent said he had, I think he thinks he's got enough. About 500, 600, so. You know what, though, Brother Brent? You're going to use them. Because I have a feeling in my heart, I think you're going to have a lot of kids. I think we're going to hit 400 or more here Sunday. Because when you go out and do this, what we're doing, and really go after it, God honors that. And don't be surprised if you have 150 kids out there. You're going to need everything you got. Notice what it says in Ecclesiastes 11:1. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 8, he was the bread of life. The word is the bread of life. Amen? When you're passing out these packages of tracts, and even that brochure's got Plan of Salvations, and you're actually giving out the Bible, the John and Romans is in there. Do you actually realize that as we go out, you're actually passing out the bread of life? That's what we're doing this week. We're literally passing out the bread of life. And I know that we should do all we can this week to pass out that bread of life and reach the lost. And you know what? The Bible says, look what it says there, and that, for thou shalt find it after many days. In other words, it'll come back to you. Brother Phil, that's a promise from God. You cast out the word, you cast out the bread, you're gonna have a reward for it. It's going to come back to you. In other words, you're going to see fruit. Look, are you in Ecclesiastes? Look at Psalms. Look at Psalms 126. Thank you for all that you've done. You've done a lot already. Let's not stop. Let's just keep on. We got a program Friday. What time are we meeting here? 5:30. And then we got Saturday at 11 o'clock. I need an army here at 11 o'clock on Saturday to pass out, just put out these booklets. Look at Psalms 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed. That's what you got in those little packages there. That's precious seed in there. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Look at the promise. Shall doubtless come again with what? Yep. Bringing his sheaves with him. I'm going to tell you right now, Bethel Baptist, I really believe in my heart Jesus is coming back soon. I really believe that. I've been saying that for 20 years, but Ruthie, I really believe it more than I've ever believed it now. He's coming back. Brian, we have to do all we can while we can. I don't know how much longer we got. And I think the time we do have is limited. And I think we should, while we, and we're still free. We still have liberty to go out. Don't trust me, someday the liberty of going out, passing these tracts out, will be taken away. The closer we get to the coming of Christ, Satan will have more power, more darkness, the prince power of the air, and he will put a damper on the witnessing. Matter of fact, eventually you'll go underground. But He that goeth forth weeping and bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again. So let's go out taking that precious seed. Let's cast it upon the waters. Let's cast that seed on the waters. I was telling the people last night, the majority, now I don't want to dishearten you. My goal is to pass out 2,000. I hope we make it. I don't know how, but I know we're going to have over 1,000. My goal is to pass out. When we run out of bags, there was 2,000 bags in there, Betty. When we run out of bags, that means we got 2,000. That was a brand new bag, Johnny. There was none out of it. So you and Betty's been working on 2,000. So wherever you're at on those bags, that's where we are. But probably out of, let's just take 1,000. We're going to get 1,000 out for sure. If 100 people out of 1,000 read this, that would be that would only be 10%. And probably at 1,000, probably 900 will discard this. By the way, I used to do it before I knew Christ as my Savior. But out of that 100, Eddie, maybe 10% of those, which is 1% of 1,000, will read it and get saved. I don't know about you, but if 10 people can get saved, it's worth it. If we could just reach one, folks, there's going to be a big ad in either Friday or Thursday's paper. I told her to put it in Friday. She originally put it in Thursday. I said, put it on Friday. But one day this week, the latter part of the week, we're going to have a big ad telling about our Easter services, telling about the super church. That's another thing, Brent. I talked about an egg hunt and everything in the paper. You're going to need candy. They're going to come. That's why I'm having a meeting with the bus people tonight, because people are going to come here. They're going to come from these flyers. They're going to come with everything. But if only one family, if we got 2,000 of these, Brother Jack, and we just reached, sis, one family, to me, it's worth it. I mean, there's a lot of money and a lot of effort, a lot of time. But when you think about eternity, we're talking about people living and dying, you're going to hell forever. If we reach one person, it's worth it. And so what's the value of an eternal soul? It's priceless. That's why we're going to keep buying tracts. Matter of fact, I've got Mrs. Jones. Eventually, this is going to be a color brochure. We're making a brand new brochure up with all our different ministries. And eventually we're going to be putting out a real, would be on a line of this. And I want to encourage you to do all you can to pray before you go. God bless these, help me to go to a family. Lord, help us. Me and Brother Mike talked about this after church last Sunday. I'm in for it, Mike. For those who wanna, this is just for those who wanna. I know Brother Mike and I are gonna meet here at 8:30 in the morning. We're gonna pray before church for the services. You do not have to come. I'm not saying for, but if you wanna come. I know me and Brother Mike are going to be here. I don't care if it's just me and Mike. I don't care if it's just me. But we're going to meet. We're going to start meeting on Sunday mornings and praying before us, and praying for the Lord to come down, praying for the Lord to bless, praying for souls to be saved. We're just showing God we mean business. Amen? And so, and you got God's promise there. If He says, if you do this, I'll do that. And now look at, I've got about 20 more minutes here. Look at Exodus chapter 12. I'm going to talk to you about the Jews for a few minutes. Exodus chapter 12. By the way, Betty sent me an email, and I can't read it all to you, but I want to show you something. She must have told her friend, I've been talking about the third temple. Here is a real picture of a bus in Israel. You know, they put advertisement on the buses. They've got an advertisement for the third temple. They're advertising the third temple on their buses. It's causing a ruckus. You got a whole letter. I can't read it. It's causing a ruckus. But Brother Coolidge, I've got a picture of it. They're actually showing the third temple right on the bus. You think I'm kidding you about that third temple? I'm not kidding you about that third temple. There's no kidding about that third temple. It's on there. It's on there. When I saw that, Betty, I about jumped right out of them. I said, oh, my lands. And by the way, March 16th, from now on, March 16th, from here on in, is National Awareness Day of the temple. March 16th, they made that a national day. It's called National Awareness Day for the temple rites. Started last, remember 2 weeks ago when I told, they made it, that's a regular day now for them. Until they get it. National Awareness Day for the 13th. And they're advertising. And I can't. And I love what the guy said. I can't read everything he said. But he said they're really. I can't read what he said. But he said they're really mad. And he said that's fine with me. We pray three times a day to rebuild the Holy Temple anyways. And but it goes on how the Arabs are really mad and they're, you know, really furious. I'm going to tell you, you can't stop the Almighty. Amen. You can't stop the Almighty. And I cannot. They're got that third temple on the Tartar buses, the Parter buses, amen. I know they're not called Parter there, but Jerusalem pollsters call for third temple. And so, unbelievable. Amen? Well, let's think about, we're in a special week. We call this is a Passover week. It's amazing about the Jewish people. This is their Passover. Even David Siegel called me this last week. You know, Brother Dave, he couldn't get a ride here, but he's going to another church now. So someone could take him, and we couldn't have a way to get him here. So he's going to another, and he called me. He said, Pastor, he said, you know, this is Passover week. I said, yeah, it is, David. And I told him we loved him. We missed him. I was happy he found another church. I was talking about how much we loved Israel and how I was hoping that America never turns their back on Israel and that... and of course, he was excited. He's a Jewish man. Of course, he's been saved. But you want to know where the Passover started? Look at Exodus chapter 12. I'll show you a scripture before we leave. Jesus is the Passover. Amen. 1,500 years before Jesus was born, maybe a little bit before that. Around 1,500 years before Christ was born, that's when this Passover was taking place. Around 1490, somewhere B.C., before Christ. When you see those things B.C., that means before Christ, A.D., after Christ. Now they're trying to change those letters. But B.C. always stood for before Christ, A.D., after Christ. And but they can't deny that Christ was born and he rose and he's coming back. Amen. Well, how many have got Exodus chapter 12? Look at verse 1 through 7. The Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. Are you in Exodus 12, verse 3? In the tenth month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. They're going to take a lamb. When Jesus came, what did John the Baptist say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sins of the world, John 1:29. Take every man a lamb according to his house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, then let him, his neighbor next unto his house, take according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Notice what that verse 5 says. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Got to be a perfect lamb. Why? Because that lamb, see, that lamb is a type of Jesus. See, Jesus had no, he was without blemish. Jesus had no sin. You say, why can't the Jewish people see this? It's so obvious, isn't it? We didn't see it till we got saved. Till our eyes were opened up. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male with the first year, so you'll take it out from the sheep and the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So that lamb, and you shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper doorpost of the houses wherein that shall eat it. And so that's your first Passover, where they took the lamb. They shed the blood of the lamb on the temple there, and they put it over the doorpost. They put it over the doorpost rather, and for 1,500 years, they shed the blood over the doorpost there. But before that, they were shedding the lamb. Adam and Eve shed the blood of the lamb. God always from the Genesis, from the first people, taught that you had to have a lamb for a sacrifice. The Bible always talked about the lamb, the slain lamb. Jesus is a slain lamb. And so, Mark, do we have that chalkboard that you run? It's gone? Okay, never mind. Okay. Anyways, Jesus was the slain lamb. And so for 1,500 years, they did that lamb. Of course, then they finally were conquered, scattered. But now they're back, and they're going to build that third temple. And once they get back in that third temple, Lizzie, they're going to start sacrificing that lamb again. Hello? And that's why I'm excited about that third temple. But that, you notice it was done in the evening and on the 14th day. How many see that? Do you see that? Okay, now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. They slew that lamb. Of course, you know the story. When God came at midnight, all they had the blood on the doorpost, they lived, and those that didn't have the blood on, you had to have the blood. If you didn't have the blood applied to you, you died. That's the same thing with today. If you don't have the blood of Christ applied to you, you don't go to heaven. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Look at 1 Corinthians 5, 7. How many have got a piece of paper in there? Look, purge out therefore, how many got 1 Corinthians 5, 7? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. The Bible actually tells you, hello, if you didn't get the Old Testament, I'm going to say it plain to you in the New Testament. You know that Passover lamb that Abraham and all of them kept offering up, Moses and everyone, that Passover lamb that Moses gave up for 1,500 years, the Jews, guess who that Passover lamb was, who I was telling you about? Jesus! Jesus is the Passover lamb. If you want to live, if you want to live forever and you want your sins blotted out, you got to take the Passover lamb. And 2,000 years ago, that Passover lamb was crucified in Jerusalem. And that Passover lamb was Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you got a piece of paper with them? I'm going to show you something. And I don't want to mess your tradition up, and don't get mad at me. But the Bible teaches that Jesus was in the heart of the earth for 3 days and 3 nights. This is really a special truth, folks. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday. Jesus was crucified on a Wednesday. Now look up here and I'm going to show you something. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says in the evening and the morning were the first. In the evening And the morning was the first day. Are you with me? In the Old Testament, the Jewish day, the new day started at 6 p.m. Oh, like it would go from 6 to 6. Like we go from 12 to 12. Like at 12 o'clock tonight, 12:01 a.m. is a new day. How many are with me? Like today is March 31. Am I right? In about 4 hours and 15 minutes from now, it'll be April 1. Right? And that's our new day at 12 midnight. Their new day started at 6 p.m. Are you still with me? Okay, now watch. Jesus was crucified at 9 a.m. in the morning. He was taken down at 3 p.m. He was on the cross for 6 hours. Isn't that amazing? He made man on the sixth day. Christ died for mankind. 6 hours, six the number of man. Now, they put him in the tomb. Are you with me? And no doubt he got in there before 6 o'clock. How many are still with me? He died on, write this down. He put one, and then put Wednesday, 6 p.m. Then put two, Thursday, 6 p.m. Then put three, Friday, 6 p.m. How many are still with me? Now, I know it's going to mess you up when I say this. When you go 6 p.m. Wednesday, 6 p.m. 01, that's, so when, even though it's our Wednesday, 6 p.m. would be their third. Are you with me? So go, he's crucified on the rens. Go one day, 2 day. How many are with me? Then put Saturday, 6 p.m. 3 days. How many? Wednesday was, from Wednesday to Thursday is the first 24 hours. From Thursday to Friday is the second 24 hours. How many are with me? Are you with me? Yeah, Thursday should be one. How many still with me? Now, then three, Saturday. He arose on that. Okay, now, that third day, even though it was Saturday, the moment Jesus came out of that grave a little bit after 6 o'clock, which would be on our set, would be our our Saturday, but at 6:01 in Israel, that would have been Sunday. How many am I confusing? Am I confusing you? See, he rose on the first day of the week. Their timing, their clock's different than ours. He really came out of that grave in your timeline on a Saturday after 6 o'clock. But in Jewish time, that would have been the first day of the week because the moment you got 6:01 on Saturday, Lizzie, you're on Sunday. Right. Am I messing you guys up, Eddie? How many know what I'm saying? Yeah. See, I guess what I'm trying to show you is Jesus wasn't crucified on a Friday. He couldn't have been crucified. You can't get three. He's got to be, and he says in Matthew, just like Jonah was in the well 3 days and three nights, so will be the Son of Man be three nights. So you got to have 72 hours. So when people, and I know, and like people are going to, in 2 days from now, people say, it's Good Friday. And I never say, don't say, are you stupid? He wasn't crucified on Friday. Now don't do that. I'm not teaching you. I'm just trying to give you truth. And if people want to, but people are celebrating a Good Friday, and Jesus wasn't crucified on a Friday. And you couldn't get 3 days. You can't get 72 hours from Friday to a Sunday morning. Are you still with me, church? And I'm just trying to let you understand what really happened. But I'm just glad people think there is a Good Friday. I want them to think about our Savior. I'll say, isn't that wonderful? You know, when they get saved, I'll teach them, you know. But Don't make fun of people. By the way, we didn't know either. Matter of fact, I still get confused when I write these things down. Yes, ma'am. Right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. And it is a Good Friday because Christ died for us, but not that day. He actually died on a Wednesday, on our Wednesday, which would have been their Thursday. Oh, man. Anyways, you know what I'm saying. How many know what I'm saying? He died on a Wednesday. Jesus died on a Wednesday. He was crucified in the middle of the week on Wednesday. Isn't that amazing? It doesn't talk about in the Bible. It only talks about having Sunday morning services. But isn't it amazing that the churches took a Wednesday to have midweek services? Do you ever think about that? Do you ever think about that? It's just something to think about, isn't it? I'm just glad he died. By the way, I would never get. I'm not gonna. I don't care what they can put him on a Monday. I don't care. I'm just glad he died. It's nothing to get worked up over what day he died. The fact that he died for us, that's the wonderful part you want to emphasize. Yes. But if you want to know your Bible, he did die on a Wednesday for us, okay? So don't get all excited about Lent and, you know, I get all kinds of Lent, you know. But I'm going to get people upset because they never had to, people say, I'm going to give up something. Good. Go ahead and give up something. But why just then? Why not all during the year? Right. You know, I mean, but that's religion. That's the world. That's religion. Listen, but I don't, when they tell me they're giving up stuff for Lent, I'll say, that's tremendous. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They want to stamp out anything that's due with Christ, and the closer we get to the coming of Christ, and we're getting very close. By the way, did I tell you they're going to build that third temple? Did I tell you they're advertising it on the buses? Did I tell you they got a national holiday now, March 16th, Temple Awareness Day? The closer we get. Now, I want my Ray. I want you and your family to know the truth about the scriptures. But not for us to be puffed up. Just so we know truth. And not that we could be argumentative with people. I'll say, boy, that's good of you. You know, Jesus gave up his life for us. I said, when they say they're giving up land, I say, did you ever think about what all Christ gave up for us? Well, I think that's something you're doing at. Hello? Sometimes, you know, we don't use our heads sometimes. I get excited about holidays. Folks, Sunday morning, I'm going to be real excited about the resurrection. He arose 2,000 years ago. But a lot of people, this coming Sunday, Brian, they're going to think he just got out of the tomb today, you know, that day. See, he's alive right now. Yes. He's risen every single day of our life. I just didn't have this plan, but let me give you this thought. You want me to blow your mind? Not only is Christ risen, I know you're sitting at 745 North Freedom Street, but the Bible teaches in the scriptures in the New Testament that God has already seen, we've already risen with him. No, I know Carl Mayer, I'm not whacked. I didn't eat too many peanut butter cookies today and pickles. I see Carl and Mary McDaniel sitting right there in that pew, and they are there. Trust me. Those Christian Science people, by the way, they're not Christian. They're definitely not science. They're definitely not Christian either. They'll tell you that chair's not there. Yeah. But good thing you sit on it. You don't fall. I could pull it away if they'd fall, wouldn't they? They'll say, it's a figment of your imagination. But in God's word, Brother Bill, and this is the truth, this is not a figment of our imagination. The Bible says that he already sees us risen. Jack, the reason I know we're saved forever and we got the victory, God already reckons us there. The Bible says in Romans, he that calls things which are not as though they are. God already sees us. I mean, I know we're down here going through all this craziness, but he already sees us risen with Christ. It's already, in his eyes, it's already finished. The battle's already over. It was over when Jesus cried, "It's finished." Amen? Amen. And so, get excited about this week. This is 1 week and people still are hearing, "Man, I'm going to get excited about our Savior." I think we ought to be excited every day about him. But this is, of all weeks, boy, take some of those to the restaurant if she'll let you pass them out. Pass those packets out. Say, "Hey, want to invite you to our Easter services." Take them everywhere you go. Yeah. Praise God. You don't understand. People get religion in two times of the year. Holly and Lily. Christmas and Easter. But Easter is the greatest one. Trust me, you'll see 300 to 400 people here. You'll see minimum of 300. I could see us in the 400s. But if I can get all those packages out like I want and get the word out and people are praying and people are witnessing, God will bless our efforts. Amen? Amen. You say, "Well, Christ, he died 2,000 years ago. And right now the Jewish people are celebrating Passover. Can't they see that Jesus is the Passover? He is the Passover. Why can't they see it? What's wrong with them?" Look at one last scripture. I'm going to close. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans 11, 25. That's a great book, that book of Romans. 16 chapters, and it's filled with stuff. 11:25 of Romans says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in," until Christ comes back. The Gentiles, we're lucky. It's because the Jews turned Jesus down that we got grafted in. That's why another scripture says, "Don't be high-minded." Hey, you Gentiles, don't be high-minded. If they would have trusted me, you wouldn't even have got grafted in, pal. Don't be boasting. Don't be knocking the Jews. You ought to be loving them Jews. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so let's have a great Easter week, Resurrection Sunday. Let's do all we can to reach people. Of all the weeks of the year, Bobby, this is the week they've got to hear. They've got an ear to hear. Hopefully we can get a couple of them to hear. Amen? All right, let's have a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful that you love us and died for us. Lord, thank you for being our Passover lamb. And Father, I pray with all my heart that you'd help us and bless the efforts today, tomorrow, Friday, Saturday, bless Sunday. Lord, I just pray that we can see people saved. Lord, it'd be wonderful to see at least 20 people saved Sunday. Oh, that would be phenomenal, Lord, to see 20 people come here, trust Christ as their Savior. It would make everything that we did, all the money, all the hours we worked, all the things that we went through, Lord, it would make everything worth it. Help us to, while there's still daylight, oh God, while there's still time, night cometh when no man can work. Lord, while we still have an opportunity, help us to take that opportunity and make full use of it. God, bless these packets. Holy Spirit, breathe on them. Encourage people when they get them. May they feel the sense of presence of God. Help them to read those brochures and tracts. Draw them to Christ. Lord, help our people to get excited. Help them to know they're in one of the most exciting weeks that they'd ever could be in. Help them to know that we're in one of the most exciting times. We're in the most exciting times we ever could be in. And help us in the time that we're in to make full use of the time. And I pray these things in Christ's name. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed right before we go home, I wonder how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure that I've asked Christ to save me. And I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Jesus is my Savior. Could you raise? I know for sure I'm saved. Could raise that hand. I know for sure. Thank you. May put them down. Maybe some could say, I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I've never really asked Jesus to save me. I've never really realized I need to be saved. And I want to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I believe Jesus died for me, and I believe he arose, and I believe he loves me. And I'd like to ask him in my heart, pray for me. Let me pray for you. Anyone like that? Just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I'd sure like to know. Yes, I see that hand, and God saw it. God bless you. It took courage to raise your hand. God saw you raise your hand. Anyone else? Pray for me. I'm going to pray for that one that just rose their hand. But before I do, maybe you're a Christian here today and you'd say, Preacher, I've got some friends that need to be saved. I'm going to pray that God will help me give them one of those packets or witness to them or something that they can be saved before it's too late. Pray for us. Who'd say that? Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, all over the building. God bless you. Heavenly Father, you saw the hands of our people. I saw one hand that one person said that they were really concerned about heaven. Holy Spirit of God, help them to be saved tonight. Let them see the urgency that today is a day of salvation. It's no accident they're here. God wanted them here. Save that one soul. She raised her hand to you. She meant it, God. And I know you look down and you say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then, Lord, so many people raised their hand. They got friends and family and acquaintances that they work with that need to be saved. God, help us to go out with desire this week with love. God, help us to go with love. Oh, that's what we need. We just need to be filled with the love of God, the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Against us, there's no law. Put your hand on us. Oh, God, come down and breathe on this church and me and these people. Help us. Help this church to make a big difference right before the end. Oh God, help us to be the shining lighthouse of Portage Community. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's